Amen. So beautiful, choir. Thank you. I was so glad I could share this story with our children about my grandmother. But it's funny, I don't remember this exact piece of jewelry from my mama's collection. But my mom and dad passed it on to me this Christmas. And so I started to think about what pieces of her jewelry I did remember. I don't remember what her wedding rings looked like, but I do remember that she had a special ring that had been made with my mom's birthstone in the middle and mine and my sister's on either side. And just then, as I was remembering and thinking about that ring, I could remember her fingers and the way her hand felt in mine, and even the slight scent of her gardenia powder that she wore. Sometimes memories hide away in our mind, but with some effort, we can expand our recollection when we take in something new and combine it with what we already know. When we heard today's story from Peter, many years after the first Easter morning, we get a very brief version of the story told in the Gospels. But Peter carries his interpretation, an emphasis on grace. When he tells this story he has told a million times, we discover that his memory is not static. His memory has been transformed over the years. His memory was first healed and redeemed when he saw the living Christ. And then throughout his ministry, his faith changed as his life changed. His perspective, his view of the world changed as God continued to reveal more and more grace in his life, as God continued to reveal more and more grace in the lives of those around him. What Christ did on the cross opened a door and freed Peter and all of us to see the world in a new way. Peter vividly knew the grace of God. When Peter woke up on that first Easter morning, I can only imagine that his memory of Christ's death on the cross was raw and filled with shame and guilt. He must have hated himself for denying Christ and deserting everyone. I can imagine that he might have even hated Jesus for dying and doing it the wrong way. Not the way that Peter would have done it. See, Peter may have betrayed Jesus, but Jesus betrayed Peter's image of who the Messiah was supposed to be, how God's kingdom was supposed to take over. I can even imagine that Peter might have responded to Mary and the other Mary with anger and jealousy. Jesus is back? Why wasn't I there? Why wasn't I the one whom Jesus appeared to first? And yet, Jesus did come. And Peter did witness Jesus in the living flesh, a flesh like we have not known, living as we have not known, and we will not know until we rest with Christ and Peter and with Cornelius and his household and all of the great cloud of witnesses in the fullness of peace in the life everlasting. Until that day, if we want to expand our understanding and heal our memories with grace, We must offer up our memories as a piece of us that is broken and in need of redemption. The chain of events may stay the same, but the way we engage with those events changes with time. During the season of Lent, we explored many different spiritual practices. And today's practice for us to explore is the practice of committing to memory. And by this, I mean a practice of listening to our stories, wrestling with the details, and opening up our interpretation of the events so that our stories might be transformed over our lifetime. Just like Peter. When we are able to see a new perspective, we can write a different ending, whether through interpretation or action. Dr. Brené Brown is one of my spiritual gurus, and she talks about the power to retell our own stories in her book, Rising Strong. When we deny our stories, she says, and disengage from tough emotions, they don't go away. Instead, they own us. They define us. Our job is not to deny the story, but to defy the ending, to rise strong, recognize our story, and rumble with the truth until we get to a place where we think, yes, this is what happened. This is my truth, and I will choose how this story ends. Now, mulling over what could have been or what we should do next can drive us to more desperation. And this is not what Dr. Brown is suggesting. Her encouragement is to dig deeper into our emotions and recognize what we are feeling, so that we can move forward and take responsibility for how we will respond to what has happened to us. When we own our stories, she says, we get to write the ending. But Pastor Katie, how do I own the story of the resurrection if I was not a witness? I was thinking about this week as I sat in worship with our neighbors who came to the ecumenical worship services. This story we tell during Holy Week is filled with so many individual stories. Disciples, men and women, common people, rich people, poor people, businessmen and women, priests and religious elite, politicians, military, so many different characters that we can relate to. We can memorize the scriptures and the chain of events, but every year the story hits us in a new way. Because we still need healing and grace. So here we have come once again to hear the old story of how Jesus rewrote our destinies when he died on the cross and after 3 days rose from the grave. The world tells us that death is evidence of our failure. But Jesus died so that we might have life and share in the glory. The pain and loss we experience on this earth are the result of our fragileness and frailness, like jars of clay. But Jesus changed the image of a cross from representing death to representing God's promise of new life and forgiveness. You participated in that today when you put a flower on the cross as you entered the church. The tragedies and traumas that we experience daily flood our minds and our vision with unfathomable and unspeakable memories about our past. But once they are voiced, when we actually speak about what we have experienced, we take a hold of our stories and interpret their impact. Years ago, a study was done with some Holocaust survivors who were interviewed on video and then given the recording. 70% of those people had never shared or discussed their experiences. And after the study, almost all of the applicants reported re-watching the tape and sharing it with friends. These methods of storytelling initiated a journey towards wholeness as the participants began to integrate their experiences in their consciousness and in their social experiences. Telling our stories is healing in itself. The more we tell our stories, the closer we get to understanding ourselves and seeing the face of Jesus. I wonder, did Peter discover something new moving inside himself as he watched Cornelius be filled with the Holy Spirit that day? Did he feel the same awe and surprise and confusion and joy that he felt that Easter morning? May Christ rise within you today with a story of forgiveness and resilience. May the Holy Spirit sit with you as you consider sharing your story with a friend, or even putting pen to paper, or paint to canvas, or making your own video. Alleluia, Jesus is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
I invite you to stand as you are able in body or in spirit as we join together in affirming our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated.
As a part of telling our story as First Presbyterian Church of Stillwater, please join me in reading our mission statement below the invitation to discipleship. As participants in the life of faith with First Presbyterian Church, we celebrate the love and grace of God by growing through Bible study, prayer, and worship, reaching out to serve, accepting questions, connecting people to Jesus Christ, one another, in the world, and embracing all. I'm so glad you are able to join with us here today in worship, whether you're with us on the radio or on Facebook or here in person. And so if you're here in person, I invite you to pass the pew pads to give us a record that you're here with us. And if you're visiting with us here today, you can share with us a little bit more information. There's some cards in your pews to get on our newsletters, lists, our weekly emails about mission opportunities. What a wonderful thing it is to be gathered as a people to serve our community. What a joy it is that that other groups from the community can meet here in this building and we can help serve our community simply by being here. And so I invite you to take some time and prepare for our offering as we offer up to God our financial gifts, but also the gifts of our hands and feet, our whole bodies, as we act of the body, the living body of Christ in the world. Alleluia.